Good morning. It is so good to see each of you here today. I want to start us today with some humor. Now, sometimes we just need to laugh together, and I hope that you know that some of this is just going to be silly, so I hope your expectations are appropriately low. I like to photograph humor when I see it, when I'm out and about, or sometimes it's a comic, sometimes it's a funny quote. The first thing I want to show you all today is an Olympics-related video. Next, I don't know if you can read this print or if it's too tiny for you. This is a welcome sign in a church parking lot that Mike and I saw one time when we were traveling. It says, "Please come worship with us." And the gate is closed. We do this, don't we? And this last one popped up as an ad on my screen this week. And it's a little blurry. Hopefully you can read it. I didn't know that Temu had the authority to sell the United States. Like, you know it's bad in your country if you're on sale. Which brings us, maybe surprisingly, right to the center of the pain of this text. This conflict that Mary and Martha say to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How sharp is that pain when God doesn't respond as we hope? And how we understand what Jesus was doing when he stayed at a distance instead of coming running at the word that Lazarus, his friend, is very sick, has everything to do with our depression and our overwhelm, and our sense of the absence of God. Or to put it another way, like the last picture of the United States on sale, when we feel like everything has got to go, when we can't do this anymore, we suffer dearly and needlessly because we misunderstand Jesus. My goal today is for God to show us Jesus' love, for God to help us see Jesus' love for us. Now, today, in the prayer time that happened a few minutes ago before the worship service, Katie happened to say something that Dave happened to say yesterday, Dave King, at the leadership retreat when he prayed, and that is this. He said, "Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see your face. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to hear your voice. Open our hearts, Lord. Help us to love like you." Years ago, I was talking with a mentor of mine, asking her, "Where does the Bible actually say that Jesus loves us?" You know, the children's song, "Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so." Where actually in Scripture does it say that Jesus loves us? And she pointed me to the final teaching of Jesus that we're about to get to in the next chapters of John, the night before he died, where Jesus says, "As the Father loves me, so I have loved you." Today, I point us to John 11, verse 36. These onlookers who have come with Mary to see Jesus, they say, "See how he loved him." That means Jesus and his love was visible. Can you guess what that looked like, what they saw? How they saw it that Jesus loved Lazarus. When I tried to picture what love looks like this is the image that came to mind. However, what the onlooker saw that looked like love was the sight of Jesus weeping. The sight of Jesus weeping caused them to say, "See how he loved them." Let me try to line up an idea for us to grab hold of today. When we are at our worst, Scripture tells us that Jesus is especially close to us. Take the Psalms like Psalm 34, God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Take Isaiah the prophet who wrote, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick God will not snuff out." Or take Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Thank you, Heidi, for that iteration of that meaning of that word. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." When our hearts are aching, God is close. So an important sidebar for us today is, since God's heart is with people who are suffering, if we are not currently suffering and we're seeking God, get near people who are suffering. Since all of these verses tell us that God is near when we are suffering, we know, therefore, that our weeping is not alone. God weeps with us, and therefore, God loves us also. Several friends and colleagues have shared with me over the years horrific things that they have been through, and that later God gave them a vision of Jesus weeping with them at the foot of the bed, or in their darkest night, Jesus was there sobbing with them. For all of us here who are wading through grief, for each person here who is angry at our lives and sick and tired of waiting for God to show up, invite Jesus now, I urge you, to open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts. Help us to see that Jesus loves us. See how he loved him. Not because we are adorable children like the picture loved by a grandpa or a grandpa figure or by a parent, which we witnessed so beautifully today, or a brother. Loved like God's own children. Which means that when we weep and we feel alone or forgotten or mistreated or a misfit or flat broke or not enough, you feared Jesus was absent when Jesus is actually near. And maybe at this point I should have added another slide of Timu selling the United States here just to lighten the mood. But it's a little bit like the bowl of water that's behind the worship arts, the crates and the candles. And Aaron placed it there a few weeks ago so that there would be moisture in the air throughout the winter in the sanctuary. And just because it's difficult for you to see it from where you are, doesn't mean it's not there. Some of you are going to go afterwards and look. I'll just show you. There is no better visual for us in John's gospel than water. Each of the first seven books of John's gospel includes a significant event or conversation about water. Let me show you. John John 1, John baptized with water. John 2, Jesus turns water into wine. John 3, Jesus says, be born of water and the Spirit. John 4, Jesus offers the woman at the well living water. John 5, Jesus heals at the pool of Bethesda. John 6, Jesus walks on water. John 7, Jesus offers living water to all who believe. And note, too, that 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection and completion. And here we are in John 11, and Jesus weeps his own tears. So if all those stories about Jesus weeping with us when we weep, if that's too touchy-feely and you need something practical to hold on to that still shows you Jesus' love for you, notice those tears. The God that shed those tears became flesh. He was human and knew more than we can imagine what it was like to suffer. Physical pain and sorrow. Jesus understood loneliness, grief, and abandonment. I want to teach us a habit that has helped me many times when I'm troubled. I did this yesterday. In my mind, I remember Jesus last week before he died, thinking through all the various events. And every time something new has emerged from the story for me that matches my experience in that moment. Betrayal, grief, the garden. Read the story today if you need to. Because when you realize that Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, it's like the tears. It's a great comfort. And I pray God gives you a picture there today so that you see the reality of what you mean to God. Here's why this matters today. If you are looking for a clock, don't buy this one. This clock is from our bedroom. And every now and then, the clock gets off by an hour, either forward or late, which can be a little confusing. But this week, it did something new. It got off by 40 minutes, which was even more confusing. And I was hoping it would stay wrong, but it fixed itself today, so. But a clock that doesn't tell you accurate time defeats the purpose of a clock, right? Not only is our clock broken, our understanding today of time is broken. If we really understood that the creator of the universe loves us, we would not keep creating more suffering by pushing God away again and again and delaying the comfort and peace that God has for us. Lisa Harper is a Christian author and speaker, and a number of years ago, she was very ill in the hospital. And the doctors, not realizing that she was conscious, were having a conversation about her status over her while her eyes were closed, but she was awake. And their conversation was they didn't think she was going to make it. Now, Lisa was a single parent to a young child whose birth mom had passed. And so in Lisa's words, she starts having a hissy fit, thinking, no, God, I can't die yet. Who will take care of my daughter? It's a God, if you had been here kind of moment, like Mary and Martha. And God gently reminded Lisa, I've got you. And I've got her. That's what God's love sounds like. So if you are tired of living in your own strength and our own weakness, come to the living water and never thirst. Why would we wait? Ignoring God's love is like going on a hike to a waterfall, and when the trail opens up with the waterfall before you, you turn your back to it and walk on by, belittling yourself for not bringing any water along to drink. The living water is still present. It's our choice to come to the fount and be revived. Our circumstances may not improve, but we will get to see God's love. And God's love leads us back to hope. For hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts like water, into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are not broken. My clock is. You are being redeemed. God is calling you by name. May God give each of us all the courage and wisdom we need to take the next tiny step toward Jesus, that we may be amazed by him and his love. Amen.